Let's go to the Word of God then. We'll read a couple of scriptures here. Romans 12, 1 and 2, and then Matthew 13. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Back to Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13, Matthew 13, and we'll go back to that as we begin the preaching tonight. We'll go back to Romans 12 there, brother. Romans 12. Okay, but over in chapter 13, again, the kingdom of heaven, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good under the vessels and cast the bad away. Tonight we're looking at a wonderful principle that is found here in the Word of God, the principle of sacrifice. In Romans 12:1, we read about this. We read the challenge to every believer. I beseech thee therefore, brethren, brothers and sisters in the Lord, each one of us need to respond to this challenge from God by His Word and His servant who exhibited this truth so much in his life. Brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I was around about 18 years old when the Word of God in this truth came to my heart and challenged me. I was saved at 16, and the Lord was really doing a work in my life and transforming and changing and just working in my life. I had no idea of the Word of God. I was not brought up in a Bible-believing Sunday school. About all we heard when we went to Sunday school was about the atom bomb. No, back in those days and everything that was going on around the world. And my father, he moved us into a different Sunday school in every town that we lived, and we lived in a number of towns and so on, but didn't have the Word of God, knew nothing of the Word of God until the gospel was shared with me and I heard that Christ had died for sinners and that he could save a Zacchaeus, someone trodden down and discouraged in life. And if he could save a Zacchaeus, I realized he could save me. And I called upon Christ for salvation. But then I was around some good believers who were keen for the Lord and liked good hot preaching. And they would take me to places where I could hear that. And I remember going to a youth meeting on this particular evening, Saturday evening, and hearing a man of God who lived out the message preach on Romans 12:1, challenging the young men to give their lives and young women to give their lives for the Lord and to be trained and go forward in the battle and sacrifice and give their lives in the work of God to go out and serve the Lord and do His will. What a challenge that was to an 18-year-old lad who was an apprentice had money, had wheels, had a challenge from God's word. What was I going to do with the money and the wheels? What was I going to do with my life? And I yielded to the Lord at the hearing of this challenge to present your body a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And this challenge of presenting meant the body, the soul, the spirit, the time, and the talents. And I didn't feel that I had much in the way of talents, but whatever I did have, gave it to the Lord. Lock, stock, and barrel. So can an 18-year-old teenager do that? Oh, yes. Did he mean business? Yes, and praise God at the time too. A number of my friends were that way inclined, and we got pretty much on fire for the Lord. And we used to meet every Saturday morning in our church there that the Lord gave us. We met every Saturday morning, 28 young people, 28 to 30 young people met for a prayer meeting, a Saturday morning prayer meeting, starting I think around 7 o'clock. And we would gather. And out of that group, probably about 20 of those young people have found their way by the Lord's leading into the work of God and have served the Lord in their lives. And I thank God for that. But I thank God for the challenge that I heard. Next door to getting saved, the most important thing you can do is to present your body, your whole life, everything to the Lord in totality and completeness, and trust Him to do with you what He wants you to do. And I saw the other day in some papers there a leadership certificate that I got. So I was in the YM, joined the YM, and I wanted to be an influence on other young people. So I did the leadership course and got through that, praise God. And that was the beginning of the study and things that took place over the next few years, so that by the time I was 27 years old, I was married and starting a church. And so the Lord really trained me through those years and taught me so many things that I thank God that I yielded it all to Him. I gave it to Him as a living sacrifice. I read these words that Nat Saint penned, and this man was a martyr in reaching the Alca Indians in South America. He said this: "He is no fool who gives or sacrifices what he cannot keep, that is his life, to gain what he cannot lose." And as a young man, he yielded his life and trained for the mission field, went out onto the field, and they were seeking to reach out to a tribe that was unreached, that never had the gospel. And they flew over and dropped things down over a month's time, and then it was time for them to land the plane. They landed on a small sandy island in the middle of a river. And the native folk were so scared and so terrorized by what happened that they threw the spears and killed every one of those missionaries. But that's not the end of the story. God continued working in the lives of others who were challenged by their dedication and commitment. And many more young people surrendered their lives for the mission field back in those days, and God wonderfully worked. In fact, his new wife, just prior to his death, was one of the first to go in and to speak to those people and to bring the gospel to them. And there was a movement in that tribe. And I think the freshness of what had happened in these lives, given as a living sacrifice to the Lord, touched the hearts of those people, and many were saved. many were saved. And there was a great missions conference on, a worldwide missions conference on, and a group of those people that speared the missionaries went there and gave their testimonies of Christ's salvation. Nat Saint realized the value of giving his life even as a sacrifice unto the Lord. And we must see that in this day and age when it's so popular to be comfortable and to take it easy and to take the easy Christian life. But no, that dedication of my life to the Lord to not take the easy way in the Christian life, but to be serious-minded and to get souls saved and to get into the work of God. And to most people, personal sacrifice is to be avoided as difficult, painful, too hard. We all love ease and avoid challenges. Sacrifice, though, has so many benefits. And I can't tell you tonight, with the time would not allow, tell you the blessings that have come to my life since that dedication to Christ and that willingness to give my life a living sacrifice for the Lord. A couple of farmers were arguing, a cow farmer and a pig farmer, they were arguing about which are the best animals. And the pig farmer said, "Well, after all, my pigs, they give all. They give it all when they die." And the cow farmer said, "Well, I think the cows are better than that. They're giving while they're living. Amen? You see, they're milking those cows, they're giving while they're living. If you're giving while you're living, you're knowing where it's going. Amen? Amen. Praise God. You can have that opportunity to give to the Lord and to give not only to the local church ministry, but also to the missions ministry around the world. So the living sacrifice is a life that is given to the Lord. It is dedicated to Him for His service and for His use. And it is willing to do what He wants us to do. A living sacrifice can achieve more than an easygoing Christian. What is the difference between what you see here at this church and the average Christendom church out there? This is the difference. We believe in giving ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord, rather than just an easygoing, easy believism, do what you want, leave when you need to, take it easy. It's a sacrificial life, a life which is given over to the Lord, fully yielded to Him to do His purposes. That doesn't mean that every Christian becomes a full-time missionary or a full-time worker, because we need full-time workers in the industries, in the factories, and in the homes of this district, of this area, and across in the nation as well. If you have that, you have dedicated members of a local church serving the Lord full on out with the gospel, praise God, then this is going to impact others out there. You don't need to worry about that. Folk will go out and get involved in reaching people in the world, and we'll be able to support good missionary projects out there in the world. But it does mean a dedication of ourselves to the Lord, a living sacrifice. We're going to be a living sacrifice to the Lord. That means we're going to give a lot of things to the Lord that we could legally keep. But yet we decide, as in the Lord, as a living sacrifice, we would rather do that which is of greater value in pleasing the Lord. I think Pastor preached on the pearl of great price, didn't he? Not long ago. And I haven't heard that message. I was away preaching that Sunday. But, you know, we just read about it there in Matthew. And this is the principle of sacrifice is seen right there in that interesting parable. And the parables have so much, whilst they have a main truth to teach us, they have so many things, so many side benefits and challenges that are of great need in our lives and that are a great blessing. Kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeing a goodly pearl, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Here it is, the dedication of one to the work of the Lord. And this principle of sacrifice, because it means that if you're sacrificing to the Lord, you are putting aside less valuable things to gain more valuable things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We'll get to that later on the screen there. But you know, it's important to seek the important things, the things of the Spirit, the things that are eternal, the things that really matter, the spiritual values and Christian life that really matters if we are going to pursue that which is important. We must let go of lesser things. We must let go of lesser things. If you want to grow as a Christian, you're going to need to let go of other things. You're going to need to dedicate yourself and just give everything as a living sacrifice to the Lord that he can use you. This man sees a valuable pearl and he determines that he's going to get it, so he gives all that he can purchase this. The other man with the field, he sees something valuable in a field, and he thinks, now this is going to be worth owning. So he sacrifices in many areas to get the funds together so that he could buy that field. A certain man was told that there were diamonds in a certain area. So he went ahead and bought a field, put everything he had into it. Maybe he got a bit of a loan, I don't know. He was struggling anyway on that land. And he thought, well, this is no good. There's nothing here. What they said is not true. He found no diamonds. He sold the land, put it on the market cheap, sold the land, got out of it, went somewhere else. Another man, wise in the information that he'd been given, purchased the land and he started finding diamonds reasonably close to the surface. He gave everything that he had to get hold of this piece of ground, and he opened a beautiful, somewhere in Africa, brother, he opened a beautiful diamond mine. There's not many diamonds near the surface around here, but there are blessings and there are true spiritual diamonds, amen? Things that are of real and eternal value around about. So there is an important principle here. If you're going to be blessed of the Lord, if you want more blessings, you need to give more. There's a little ditty that they were singing years ago. I want more of Jesus, I want more and more. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. That's how to get the blessings, to just give our lives as a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, we read so much about sacrifices there. And for the most part, the sacrifices of the Old Testament were dead. Okay? They had to kill the animal. They would give it then. And the blood on the altar of God and so forth. The living sacrifices are the songs of praise. The shout of praise that came out from God's people in olden time, back in the Old Testament time. There was a sacrifice of praise. When you're praising God, when you're singing the songs of Zion, you're not singing other songs. It's a principle there. Principle of replacement. You've replaced that which is more spiritual and better for that which is rubbish and only bring you down. Only bring you down. Listen to good Christian music and the melody should predominate. It's singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. We purchased up in Bundaberg a building. When we looked at the building, there was a large plastic enclosure. It's probably about yay big. The building was empty when we saw it. And I said to the guy, whatever would they want this plastic room box for? That was for the drums. That was to quieten the drum kit down. I can tell you how to quieten the drum kit down. Put it outside. Put it outside. Although you can dedicate those drums. If you can play them for the glory of God, you can dedicate them. If you're sold out for the Lord, you can do godly music for the Lord Jesus. And so that people will hear and think, wow, that glorifies the Lord. But a terrible racket and a noise that's banging through at 300 or 400 or 500 decibels. You know what it's going to do? Annoy the neighbours. And also, you could suffer industrial deafness. I've got a bit of that because of the workshop that I worked in. In my apprenticeship, I worked in it for a small builder. We had all sorts of noisy machines. And we had no headphones. What do they call those things? Earmuffs. No earmuffs. Our ears were muffed enough. But so in order to enjoy the blessings of the songs of Zion, it means that we're not singing other songs. And I thank God for that. I was a bit of a joke now. I was a bit of a rockhead before I got saved. I had quadraphonic sound. Anson's smiling. He knows back in those old days, I had quadraphonic sound. I had a big radio over here with a big bass speaker. And over here I had a little transistor with a small speaker. I had treble and bass and I had quadraphonic. One a set in every corner of the room. And on the weekends, when Mum and Dad were out, Dad was out at the races. And Mum was down there in the quid and in the shop. And I'd be home with that on. I'd have it on all weekend. I'd have it on all weekend until about this time on Sunday night. I didn't even know what I was doing. I'd say, Lord, there must be more. There must be more. So empty, hearing that repetitious things over and over again. Songs that still are stuck in the memory and hard to erase. Praise God for good Christian music. But you know, you have to apply this principle in the Christian life. The kingdom of God, it is described here. Kingdom of God's like a valuable field. There's treasure there. It's also like a valuable pearl. Beautiful. Sweet and beautiful. It's worth giving everything for. It's worth pursuing. Following the Lord, trusting Him and moving out by faith and stepping out on living on the edge of faith, not knowing where the next dollar is coming from, but willing to step out and serve the Lord and be prepared for the work of God and then to get involved in the work of God. Now, I was in the building game. Some of you know, and 7 years working for the builder. I can't tell you now the amount of money that I could have made through that building game. But, praise God, I saw treasure in a field. I saw a pearl of great price, the Lord Jesus Christ, worthy to give all. And to be involved in the work of the Lord and to seek the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33 there, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, You've got to seek first. It's a priority. There must be a priority in the Christian life of the kingdom first, the work of God first. And you know, I was telling my mother, and she was not a Christian, and I was married at that point, telling mother that I was going to go full-time into the work of God, and we were going to start a church. What? How in the world are you going to live? After all, money doesn't grow on trees. Money doesn't grow on trees. I said, no, but we've got a God in heaven who's going to provide. And he has provided over the years in a wonderful way, in so many different ways. I'm so glad that I pursued that treasure. You'll never regret pursuing the treasure. You'll never regret seeking Christ and following the Lord and doing his bidding and doing his work. It's of great value, and we must see that value and be willing to sacrifice, to let go of things of lesser value, that we might endorse and embrace those things of eternal value and spiritual value, the kingdom of God. That's what is required. You're wondering why you're not growing in the Lord and you reach sort of a plateau. You reach the plateau. There are more things that you need to let go of that you can go higher and grow in the Lord. Be willing to let go of the things that are non-essential, the things that will drag you back, the material and the earthly, which is short-lived, and even to be willing to give your life fully in the work of God, trusting him for all things. Some of the valuable things that we should seek after, of course, the kingdom of God, spiritual values and spirituality in our life, the salvation of others. Salvation of souls is something worth pursuing and giving yourself to. Understanding the Word of God. If you're going to be in the Bible, you've got to study it. You've got to read it. Now then, when the Lord saved me at 16, Saturday afternoons were clear. No longer needed to be boosted by that terrible music all weekend. No longer needed that. Took those silly records out. You think about it, they were ridiculous. Took them down to the second-hand shop, got the money, walked around the corner to the Christian bookshop, bought a Bible. So, Saturday afternoon, the decks are clear. Big brother's out changing the world. Mother's working. I'm at home, kitchen table, Bible, books. So I would sit down with my Bible Saturday afternoon in that time, and I would use that time to get in, begin to read the Word of God and to get my soul fed. Then, of course, we need a good church to be part of. A good church where they preach the Word of God, where it's clear and it's straight, and where a dedication to the Lord, where a decision is required for Christ and in the things of God. A good church, there is no substitute for a good church. And it's important when you find a good church like this one to stick to it. Don't take it for granted. Don't just come here and there and the other. Be it everything. That's the wonderful thing. When I got saved at 16, I was just footloose and fancy free. I told you before, I had the car. I had the money. And my brother and I, we found a good Bible preaching church. And I mean to say, our preacher, he preached like you wouldn't believe. You know, Brother Charlie preaches it straight and loud. Our preacher, he preached straight and loud. My wife, when she first went to that church, she was already saved. She didn't go through the door where the pastor stood and shook hands. She went out the back door. That pastor was so loud. But I've never seen so many men saved as I saw under his ministry. And I found a good church, and I decided under God's grace and by God's leading and that I would be there for everything. Everything was on, working bees, and when you've got your own building too, working bees, you've got to clean it, you've got to fix it, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. Outreach, they said they were going to have a soul winning program, so they started training us, let's go soul winning. And we learnt how to win souls, how to present the gospel on the doorstep. And so whenever there was outreach going on, I was on the outreach. Whenever the preacher was doing something and no one was with him, I'd say, well, I'll go, I'll do it. What do you want, preacher? And I just wanted to help him and just to be what I could be with the talents that I did have to do what he wanted and what he needed and to help in the ministry of God. They needed Sunday school teachers. This is a good one. They needed Sunday school teachers. So I said, yes, sir, yes, Lord. You know, I think I can be a Sunday school teacher. Well, that was by faith, amen. Because, well, they gave me this class of grade 4 and 5 boys. Now, some of you know Preacher Weston, Brother Ian Weston, and you might not know his younger brothers. Some of his younger brothers, they were in my class. But those Weston boys were smart, and they had been brought up on the Bible from the get-go. You know, they had been brought up on the Word of God, and I'm trying to teach things from the Bible. And those boys, they had to help me out, I'm telling you what. They had to help me out with a few of the lessons. But mind you, on the other hand, they used to give me the runaround as well. I said, you need to bond with your class. You need to bond with your class. I said, all right, class, we're going to go on a hike. So I got clearance from the parents to take them on the hike. We got out to this hike, hiking across this country, and, you know, there was a big haystack there. And guess what the Western boys decided to do? They thought that would be good to bamboozle me and to hide up there in that haystack. Do you think I could find them? Do you think the city boy could find a couple of kids like that that were hiding out in that haystack? Oh, it started getting dark. It was almost this time of the year. It started getting dark. Oh, and those were the old days. You had to find a telephone and ring the parents. Well, well, a Sunday school teacher, well, I've lost the boys. Well, sounded really good. But, you know, the Lord began teaching me through those experiences. And also, it made me get into the Word. It made me get into the Word. I had to know the Word of God in order to teach that class. Get into a good church and get involved. Do what you can do and serve the Lord. There's plenty of things to do, plenty of chairs to stack up, plenty of things to do. I said to Mr. Ray the other day, Brother John Ray had his birthday yesterday, wasn't it? On the 6th. He's a bonny Scotsman too. He had his birthday on the 6th. And I said, Brother, I've been saying to him, Brother, let the young ones pack the chairs. Let the young ones. The other Sunday night he was over there standing by the door after they were all packed. There was a sweat coming off of his head. Someone of the other boys was there with me. And we said, Brother. I said, Brother, let the younger ones do these things. But, you know, all I'm saying is get involved in the local church, the Bible studies, the outreach, all the things that they do take time, and it does mean that when you're doing that, you're not doing something else. There's a sacrifice of time, but it's worthwhile because you meet precious souls out there when you get out on the outreach. You meet people that you would never meet before. You're able to win people. It's important for every believer to learn how to win souls to Christ and then to teach them the Bible. It's important for every couple to have a good home, and that does require work, a good marriage, to work on a good marriage. It does require time and talents to be given in those areas, and to spend time out together is so important. Lay up treasures in heaven, the Bible tells us. It's so important to work on spiritual projects, to lay up treasures in heaven. Take time to do things for the Lord and for others that will be beneficial to others who have needs in the local church ministry and out there into the community. Get the gospel out. It's important to develop good Christian character, isn't it? And to experience good Christian character and put the word of God into practice and overcome those bad aspects of our nature. We can all be selfish. We can all be grouchy. We can all pursue things that are mean and unhelpful. And we need to yield everything to Christ to be a positive blessing and to be a use to others. The Bible's full of great testimonies of men that showed us so much of how to live for the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11. I don't know what's happening with the verses up there. What are we up to, brother? We got Hebrews 11 there. We've got Abraham. Now, Abraham sacrificed his life of comfort in Ur of the Chaldees. Now, in the Ur of the Chaldees was the New York City of the world. We often overlook this, and some of the facilities and luxuries that they had in Ur of the Chaldees matched civilizations almost 500 and 1,000 years later. They had the water, they had all sorts of things happening in that town, and they had a lot of luxuries and a lot of comforts there in that town. It seems in looking at Abraham's life that Abraham was a man of means. He was not on his last dollar. He was a man of means who worked and was blessed in what he did. But he was also a man that sought the Lord, a man that sought God, a man that was listening to the Lord and what God had for him. And Abraham was told to do something unusual in that time. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, Hebrews 11, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He had not a clue where he was going to end up. But God said, Abraham, get out of this town. Get moving. But Lord, no, Abraham heard the word of God, and Abraham had the obedience of faith. He was a man that believed God. He was a man that was accounted righteous because of his faith in the Lord and his trust for God. But in order to enjoy the blessings of God, to be in the center of the will of God, he had to leave. He sacrificed to leave Ur of the Chaldees. He sacrificed to give Lot his choice of the best land as to maintain his relationship with him. He sacrificed to rescue Lot, taking nothing for himself to preserve his reputation and the reputation of his God. He was willing to sacrifice Isaac and obey God and show his love for the Lord and his commitment and the reality of his sacrifice unto the Lord. He was willing to put his son there, believing God could raise him from the dead. And the Lord miraculously provided a lamb for him that he would not have to sacrifice his son. But such was his faith and willingness to give to the Lord that he did that. He was willing to go to that mount. He was willing to take those steps. He saw God intervene and bless. And this is what happens when we give ourselves to the Lord, when we dedicate ourselves fully to the Lord, when we put ourselves on the altar of God, as it were, a living sacrifice. We will see God provide in unusual ways that he wouldn't do otherwise. Mr. Mueller saw God supply in miraculous ways. Why? Because he died to self. He yielded himself in the work of God, and he began to take in the orphans and start the orphanage home. You don't need millions for your place if you haven't got 100 kids to look after. God, I believe, blessed him because he had a ministry to those children. He also was pastoring a local church like this. And he was faithful in that ministry as well. But not only do we need people like Mr. Mueller that trust God and see God supply wonderfully, we need some people like missionaries. A missionary I heard of once that went to the Middle East back in the old days, 100 years ago, went to the Middle East. And he laboured out there with the gospel. He laboured with the gospel. And after 30 years or so, he saw one soul saved. And after another 5 or 10 years, his head was cut off. I see that man to be a great man of faith. He laboured out there. He was faithful. No matter what was happening, whether there were souls or not, he was doing the work of God. He was preaching the gospel. And he got ahead of himself, amen, into the glory land. Praise God. A quick trip to the glory land. Hallelujah. Give yourself fully to the Lord. He's going to provide. God, Abraham did that, and the Lord provided wonderfully for him. And he enjoyed a wonderful walk with God, and God supplied for him in so many ways and gave him an abundance of farming to do and animals and all the rest of it. Moses sacrificed his life of comfort in Egypt to suffer the reproach of Christ and difficulties of leading Israel out of Egypt. Hebrews 11, 23 to 29. You see there that this man had faith. He trusted God, led those people through difficult times, and he was faithful to the Lord. We should mention there before that, we should have mentioned Noah. He built an ark even though it hadn't rained, because God warned him aforetime, and he preached the message for 100 years, preparing, and only his family got on board the ark. That was a faithful man right there. Another faithful man, a man of faith. And he was building the ark, building the ark. Now imagine all the timber and everything that went into the ark. That man put his life work, his heart, his work, his hands, his money, everything that he had. Some friends of mine have visited the ark that's been built in the middle of America. In the middle of America, they have built not a replica of the ark, but they have built a full-size ark. And cost millions to build that ark. People have been impacted as they've gone in and seen how huge that vessel, how that vessel was, and the work that was put into that. But in order to build that ark, he didn't have time to build his house. Okay? He was building the ark and doing the work of the Lord. And Abraham never built a house. He lived in a tent, put in his time, doing the work of the Lord. Now these men had a particular work to do, and their ministry was a particular kind and in a particular way. God has not told us to start building an ark. Okay? It's not in the Word of God, is it? Is it? The nearest thing to it is a local church where people can come in and get saved and be safe for the storms of life. So while Noah was doing that, he was not doing other things. This is the principle of sacrifice. While a person is working on the mission field and has given his life in the field, while he's in the field, he's not at home. Although these days it seems like we can redefine an overseas missionary. He goes to the field when he has to. Seems to be home for a lot of time. We need to be a living sacrifice and go to the place where God's appointed us and stay there. David was willing to sacrifice his life to fight Goliath because he valued God's name and God's honour. He saw things of greater value, and he was willing to go out there and fight that monster Goliath, that ungodly heathen killing God's people. Went out there and took a stand with him, against him. And he brought Goliath down by faith. By faith and one smooth stone. Praise God. While he was out there doing that, he was not doing other things. And then, of course, his life was given in service to serve the Lord as king. So when others were against him, he didn't waste his time going aside with them, but rather he kept his eye on the goal of serving the Lord, and God raised him up to be a great king of his people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were willing to sacrifice their lives by refusing to worship an idol. They were rewarded by seeing the Son of God in the furnace. They went into the furnace, and there was one like unto the Son of Man there with them in the fire. The fire did not touch them, and they were delivered of the Lord. They were a living sacrifice protected by the living God. His protection and blessing is promised to those who are serious in their sacrifice and life for the Lord. Matthew sacrificed his well-paying job as a tax collector to follow Jesus. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9, as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. Does it say that he filled his pockets full of money and everything before he got up and left? No, up and left, following the Lord, doing the will of God. Matthew took his pen with him, because he'd been working for the Romans there, counting all the money, one for them, one for me, one for them. Been doing all the maths, working it all out. Beautiful pen, working it all out. God said, "Matthew, follow me." Gave his life a living sacrifice, left it all behind, went out in the work of God, but took his pen with him and began writing the book of Matthew. Beautiful gospel, to the wonderful gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to his own people, the Jews. Paul was dedicated to the Lord and sold out to God. Paul indeed taught this principle of the living sacrifice, giving his life fully to the Lord. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, that do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." He looked at all that stuff. It's just rubbish. Dung. Just the worst form of rubbish that there is. And he left it all behind. The prestige of his position and his work was all left behind for Christ. He pursued the Lord Jesus Christ. He was stoned as a sacrifice unto the Lord. He was stoned and caught up to heaven to see God. Had an amazing vision of the Lord in his life. Jesus was a continual sacrifice to meet the needs of others, and dying as a sacrifice to save us. He gave it all. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. We need to have a transformation of our thinking. We need to have a transformation of our thinking like unto Christ, that we are not here to be ministered unto, but to minister unto. That's the purpose. As we are given to the Lord so he can use us. What are the benefits of personal sacrifice to the Lord? Well, we move from the ordinary to the supernatural. "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." This is the work of God. This is a supernatural work. Are you trusting God to do the supernatural in your life? If you're yielded to him fully, you may know his blessing. As we were taught this morning, as we abide in him, he blesses us in so many ways. We see God working in our lives in great ways. We can achieve much more if we are fully yielded to the Lord and a living sacrifice than we would without it. We can achieve more because God can use us. He can direct us. He can channel through us great blessings and give abilities that we wouldn't believe. We learn many things that we would never have learned. God reveals to us new truths in His Word and new ways of living for His glory that can only be found as we yield fully to Him. Jesus draws nearer to us as we yield to Him in obedience. In Luke 9:23, he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Self-denial, this is what it's all about, a living sacrifice to the Lord, doing what God wants you to do, not what you want to do. I suggest to you tonight, there are many, even of us, that are spending a lot of time doing what we want to do and giving the Lord what's left over. A living sacrifice is giving the Lord the first portions of it all, using it all for His glory, and then find His multiplication and blessing in the overs. Think of Jesus feeding the 5,000. They were blessed in the overs. God blessed. God moved. God provided. And there are overs. God can do the same for you in your situation as you yield fully to Him. So we move from the ordinary to the supernatural as we see God moving. We achieve more than we could ever do in our own strength. Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." We learn many things that we wouldn't have learned otherwise. We meet people that we would never have met. We bless them and they bless us. Can't tell you about the trips we've had overseas and the believers and preachers that have met as we've travelled on our ways and gone to their churches and the blessings we have received from places far and beyond what we ever thought that we could do or would do. God has blessed. I went on a trip, one of the trips we did in the States, we had 6 weeks and the preacher put us in different country churches around in Oklahoma. And what a time it was to get into those country churches and to be among people and to see blokes turn up for church with their church overalls on, amen? One church we were in, and I said, "Oh, preacher, I see you still got the railing out there for tying up the horses." So this was a country church in the middle of a country town, a farming district. I said, "You still got that there?" He said, "Brother, wouldn't be surprised to see a few horses tied up out there when we finished church this morning." He said, "Some of the brothers will come in on the horse." Sister's laughing on the front row. "I'm not encouraging you to get another horse, sister. We've got no tying rails out there. Besides, who's gonna feed it and clean up after it when it leaves?" But, you know, the people that we met, the places that we've been, the love of Christ, we have seen. My brother and I went on a trip in the 80s, and it was organised for us to stay with people, friends of missionaries and others in the States, to organise that and to stay in the homes in the suburbs. I said, "I don't want downtown. I want to see how the real American people live in the real towns, in the real suburbs, and go to their local churches, hundreds in the hundreds. I want to see that." Well, we would get to an airport in the middle of a busy city, and somebody would be there to pick us up. My brother and I, we had a little deal going. We would look around the crowd, and in our own mind's eye, we would identify who was picking us up. 85% of the time we were dead right. Said, "That person is a Christian. Look at all these other sad faces out here. That's the person." And we would meet people and share things and hear things and discover things that we would never have seen before and get enthused in the work of God. So we meet people that we would never meet before if you surrendered to the Lord. You're going to places and meeting people, seeing people. We met some people today at lunchtime. Amen, and got to know them. That was a blessing. They're sitting right there tonight, and many of you already know them. But you know, in the work of God, you have people in, you may be entertaining angels unawares. Be ready. Give hospitality. Open your homes to the people of God. Yield your house to the Lord. You've got a house? Well, it's the Lord's. Amen? Just give it to the Lord. Have the door open. When they come in, they eat you out of house and home. Praise God. You need to go on a bit of a diet anyway that week. Amen? Yeah, well, that one cost you nothing. But it's true, isn't it? And we can open up and do things. I remember one brother, he was new in the Lord, and he was a pensioner, and he decided to give his time to the Lord. Said, "Preacher, anything you want me to do around, I'm willing." We had 4 acres, or 3 acres of almonds in this church property that we had. And every year we knocked those almonds and paid our mortgage, whatever, with those, or gave to missions, whatever. And Brother Jim, he said, "Right, I'm on the job." He'd be over there every day. He did out the shed so that he could just about camp in there all the day and get away from the women at home, you know. But anyway, that's another story. Oh, Brother Jim, he loved the Lord and he was over there all the time serving the Lord, doing what he could on the church property, praise God, out on the visitation. It was about this time of the year, on a Tuesday night, you had visitation Tuesday night. And we'd go out about 7 o'clock, which was great in daylight saving, but these sort of nights. Came in one night and it was, he was coughing and coughing and coughing. He said, "I'm ready to go, preach." I said, "No, you're not. You're going home." I said, "You can't be out on the streets knocking doors this weather with that terrible cough." I said, "More than that, I'm going to make an appointment for you tomorrow to go and see a decent doctor," which I did. And within 4 days' time, they found that he was riddled with cancer. He was saved as an older man in his 60s, and he had been in the Navy, in the English Navy, and they issued them with cigarettes when he was a lad. When he was young in the Navy, he had been smoking all those years. His lungs was full of it. I tried to talk his daughter into quitting her smoking. "Oh, preacher, I'm not convicted." I said, "You don't have to be convicted. All you got to do is have a bit of horse sense. Have about as much." Say, I didn't say that. I didn't talk to her like that, but I wanted to. If you had a bit of horse sense, you'd quit. Look at all the medical information we've got now about these things. And if you love the Lord, you give yourself wholly to Him and do what is pleasing to Him. That's another thing about it, isn't it? So we need to yield ourselves as a sacrifice for the Lord, for His glory. We can discover better ways of doing things and discover how to have a wonderful life together in a home and a family and know the blessings of God. So what things should we be willing to sacrifice and give up for the Lord? Well, it could be a job or the hours that you're working in a job. You need to make some adjustments so that you can be in the Word of God and be in church. Ungodly friends, they'll only hold you back. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but have your delight in the law of the Lord, Psalm 1:1-3. Personal popularity. You want people to like you. You might have to put that aside as a living sacrifice so that you can share the gospel with them. They need the gospel. Leisure time. Leisure time. We might need to put aside leisure time to share the gospel to be in the Word of God and to developing godly habits in our lives, redeeming the time because the days of evil. We need to submit our will to the Lord so we can say, as Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." We need to yield our money to the Lord so that we can support those doing the work of God here at home and abroad. Yield it to the Lord. Give as God would direct you, the tithe and the offering of the Lord's. Also, to conclude, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Back to Romans 12 again, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Sorry, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. To conclude tonight's message. Are you a living sacrifice unto the Lord? Or are you still holding back and number one is in charge? Put Jesus in charge. Give it all to him and you will find that he will take care of you and bless you so wonderfully. Right, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, people are watching you, people are looking at you, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Put off the weights. Put aside the unnecessary stuff that's weighing you down and dragging you back, and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He sacrificed himself totally for us, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God on high. No one gave more than our Lord Jesus. He gave it all on that cruel cross, a suffering and a death that is so terrible, that Roman crucifixion, so terrible, so painful, so agonizing, so long and drawn out, yet he was willing to suffer for us. He was willing to give us his all. Endured the cross. He was dedicated. He was sold out. He was a living sacrifice. And here at the end of his life, he was a total sacrifice poured out for our sins. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. If we want to have the blessing of God then in our lives, we need to sacrifice unto the Lord. We need to learn the principle of sacrifice, the principle of putting first, the principle of displacement, and the principle of replacement. Putting in those things which are pleasing to the Lord and eternal. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. Give yourself fully to the Lord and totally to him. Don't hold back. If you have never been to the foot of Calvary and yielded yourself fully to the Lord in this way and said to the Lord, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow with ceaseless praise." Oh, if you haven't been to Calvary and done that yet, you need to, because you won't accomplish the things that God wants you to accomplish unless you are a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is the reasonable thing to do. Some of you have talents and abilities that are a blessing. Make sure they're given to the Lord and you find ways to use them for God's glory and to help reach out to lost sinners. Let's pray.